Howdy, y'all. Dan Scotland here, joining you from Leo, Massachusetts, the heartland of America. You can find us anywhere you find podcasts, such as iTunes, CastBox, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and other platforms like it. You can follow me on Instagram at _IamCannabisSativa. And you can find our videos on Rumble and YouTube and Odyssey. All right, let's get to today's episode. There's been seemingly a lot of delays with the Alabama medical marijuana program launching and getting off the ground and awarding the licenses. So we're going to read about it. Like I mentioned, and like I continue to mention, whether it's your state, your country, or wherever you're from, if they make marijuana legal on any level, the work isn't done once the vote happens or once the governor or the president or premier or whatever signs the bill, or prime minister. The work isn't done once it's legal. The work towards making the market, whether it's an adult use or medical market, a market that works for the average Janes and Joes, both on the business end and on the customer end, the fight still has to continue. But even with the fight, even with fighting, politicians can still use a variety of shenanigans and a variety of loopholes to subvert the will of the voters and the will of the taxpayers. So we're going to read about that here. So let's get to it. So this from Alabama Political Reporter. A deeper look at the AMCC's troubled medical marijuana licensing process. The process for awarding medical cannabis licenses in Alabama was plagued with issues from start to finish. By Josh Moon. 4 days after awarding the state's ever medical marijuana cannabis licenses, the Alabama Medical Cannabis Commission made a surprise announcement. It was placing on hold these licenses while it investigated the inconsistencies within the application review process. Too many on the outside looking in, it was a stunning turn of events and another example of government bureaucracy at work, or amok, gone aruck, amok. To those close to the process, including applicants, AMCC employees, attorneys, lobbyists, it was simply the latest, albeit the biggest flaw in the process that has been filled with them. Flaws that seemingly cost some applicants a license, flaws that give some applicants an advantage, flaws that kept the general public mostly in the dark. No, it's by design. APR has spoken to more than a dozen people who were involved in the AMCC medical licensing application process in an effort to understand just what went wrong and who is to blame and how the process of awarding licenses to sell medical weed has resulted in essentially a do-over with complete lawsuits and more lawsuits. I mean, sounds no different than a lot of what you see in parochial New England / Massachusetts. Like, to be honest, it does seem like the mob / mafia still run the state to a degree. I mean, that's said of Springfield, of course. At least people I know from Western Mass have directly said that. But I think as a whole, Massachusetts is very parochial and ran by organizations like that. Like, when we legalized medical, it took about 3 years for the first dispensary to open. And it was full of all these, oh, well, you didn't follow this technicality. Oh, you didn't do this. Oh, you didn't do that. And the few people that had licenses, medical ones initially, were these big companies. Were these big companies that only saw dollar signs. And let's not discount the fact that there's a lot of cronyism in Massachusetts, too. So, again, Bob O'Brien has to get his fill, or Steve DeLuca has to get his fill, or this project isn't going to happen. It can be very parochial like that in Massachusetts. So, again, our past fight is similar to your current one. And again, we're just going to keep pressing at these politicians. We're going to just keep making their lives hell on a local, municipal, and state level. Heck, even if you primary some marijuana opponents and they still get reelected, if they win by less than 5 points, I still consider that a win, because you almost threaten their job. And according to, like, political analysts that are a lot smarter than I am, Incumbent is vulnerable, whether in the U.S. Senate, you know, congressperson or state, whatever, or they are vulnerable to being primaried or tossed out of office as an incumbent if they fall below 50% of approval. I think that's what I've heard before. So the fact that, like, again, in one time we had one of the people when we voted for adult use in Massachusetts, one of these politicians we had was very sort of anti-cannabis, and he was part of the people that delayed adult use sales. So the cannabis community a couple years ago, I think this was in 2018, and I believe this woman, Samantha Hammer, is running for mayor of like a city or town. I forgot which one. I think she's trying to run for another local seat now. But she was within 4 points of beating state senator Jason Lewis, who was a virulent opponent of the plan, and had a very male Karen view on it. He almost lost his darn seat. And do I still see him pass or put some stupid legislation out? Yeah, but now he knows not to F with the cannabis community. He knows that there's actual weight behind our demands. And if you're not going to meet those demands, we're going to toss us as the voter and taxpayer, we'll toss you out. These people need to be, it needs to be known that that's what's going to happen if they don't fulfill the will of the voters. But again, the work doesn't stop once you vote yes or once the governor signs the legislation. You got to stay on their butts till eternity. At least we're going to have to for the next few generations. It took several generations to create reefer madness. It's going to take several generations for the mindset to die out. APR has spoken to more than a dozen people who were involved in the AMCC's medical licensing application process in an effort to understand just what went wrong, who is to blame, and how the process of awarding licenses to sell medical weed has resulted in essentially a do-over complete with lawsuits and more lawsuits. It's pretty safe to say that you couldn't really screw up a government operation worse than this one has been screwed up, said an attorney who has been involved in the application process. It seems like every single time they decided to do something, it was the wrong decision, end quote. The attorney, like several others who were interviewed for this story, asked not to be identified out of fear speaking out would cost his clients. Other sources asked not to be identified because they were not authorized to share information about the application process and ongoing investigation into inconsistency. However, all of them combined to describe a process that was plagued by bad decisions, a bad law, and a little bad luck. The problem started almost immediately when applicants began experiencing issues with the application portal. Again, this is by design. These politicians never wanted this to be legal, even for suffering people on a medical basis. They never wanted you to be able to have access. So they're going to do what we call malicious compliance. They're going to sabotage it by death by a thousand cuts. They're going to do billions and trillions of passive aggressive actions to stall and to run the clock out. Now they know that their people are going to vote every single one of them if they don't put forth a program. So they had to continue doing continue stalling it for these technicalities, saying, oh well, someone didn't put a semicolon where there should have been a colon, so you have to avoid that application. Again, that's what you have to do when you're a prohibitionist. You're both a prohibitionist that hates the plant and hates to be able to use it, yet you still want some of your buddies in the legislature, or you still want some of your buddies connected to the big cannabis corporation, some of your golf buddies. You still want them to get a piece of the pie. So what do? You put forth technicalities, you put forth all these delays, and you allow it so only your cronies are able to come out unscathed. And there you go. You have a market that's been oligopolized. That's been crafted so only a few players that the lawmakers and the people that be in that state or country or wherever want it. They're the only people that come out unscathed and on top. The problems started almost immediately when applicants began experiencing issues with the application portal. The problems continued to the very end when errors in the process of grading the applicants led to the AMCC to scrap the whole thing. Again, malicious compliance by design. A new review. The AMCC is currently conducting an independent review of the process, and an attorney working for the AMCC said it's progressing. Montgomery attorney, William Webster, said that the investigation will likely show that the errors that forced the AMCC to issue the stay, which has since been backed up by a stay issued by the Montgomery County Circuit Court, were related to a coalition of scores from a variety of different graders who were working quickly to meet a deadline imposed by the legislature. Webster also said that the AMCC has engaged in an accounting firm to review the scores and will reward the licenses based on these new accurate scores. This is an effort to go back and award based on accurate information, Webster said. I think the commission should be commended for being willing to do that and to make sure it was done properly. I'm not sure it'll change who receives the licenses. That will be determined by the process. But it's an opportunity to get it right, end quote. So far, Webster said that the investigation has shown that it is not necessarily the graders working with the University of South Alabama who were to blame for the inconsistencies that forced the redo. Instead, it appears to have more to do with a convoluted and confusing grading process by design, emphasis mine, that involved multiple steps, multiple graders scoring each application, and multiple coalition of grades. And you can bet your butt that the people that are in charge or that have tutelage of all these steps, like any other corrupt political establishment in all 50 of these states, you can bet that these politicians know the people that are scoring these applications. That these are personal friends of these politicians and regulators. Their cronies have to get in if you even get this deadhead drug thing. Their cronies have to be situated in the right places. Even though they hate the plant as much as the politicians that were forced to enact it, they get these cush fluff jobs to grade these dispensary applications or these caregiver or grower applications. These politicians and their cronies are getting money at every step of the process, in my estimation. You see this all the time in what we call regulatory capture and such, all the time, where the cronies that the politicians happen to be friends with also happen to be the ones impeding and slowing down the process, like they're proxies, if you will. But yeah, I mean, let's continue. I think the commission should be commended for being willing to do that and to make sure it was done properly. I'm not sure it'll change who receives the licenses. That will be determined by the process, but it is an opportunity to get it right. So far, Webster said the investigation has shown that it was not necessarily the graders working with the University of South Alabama who were to blame for inconsistencies, the forced redo. It says to appears to have more to do with a convoluted and confusing grading process that involves multiple steps, multiple graders scoring each application, and a coalition of grades. USA recruited a number of different graders from various professions, including the accountants, bankers, and businessmen. These graders were assigned the task of scoring each application in their expertise, according to Webster. That meant that each application was scored multiple times by different graders, after which those scores had to have been tabulated and an overall score established. But in addition to all of that scoring, the commission itself also scored some applicants prior to sending the applications to USA, so University of Southern Alabama. Then, after the scores were returned, Webster said that the AMCC applied a certain number of pass-fail tests to the applications, meaning the commission judged the applicants on whether they could meet the certain requirements of the law passed by the legislature. Somewhere in the midst of that, mistakes were made. Quote, I think the investigation has shown to this point that it wasn't the graders that did something nefarious or intentionally worked against an applicant, or that they even made mistakes in the grading, but it was the collating of these scores where the mistakes were, Webster said. I believe that this is my opinion, that the mistakes were due to time constraints. Oh man, that's so cute, man. Because of the deadlines imposed by the new law. No, it's malicious compliance, my dude. When you get in a hurry, that's when you mess up. And I think that's what happened here, end quote. You sweet, sweet summer child, man. The deadline referenced by Webster is a 60-day time limit between the AMCC receiving applications and issuing licenses. That deadline was put in place by the Alabama legislature in the medical cannabis law. The problems at the end of the process, however, were by no means the first problems. They start at the very beginning when applicants try to submit their applications. Problems from the start. According to the three applicants who spoke with APR, their portal was plagued with issues, with the biggest being a 10 megabyte cap on file attachments that went with the applications. The reason that this was such a problem is that applicants were required to submit all their papers, designs, and other materials related to the facilities that they would build and the growing processes that they would use or the shipping methods they planned to use. The plans were detailed and intricate, and according to a lawsuit filed by one applicant, Alabama Always LLC were required to be renewable without a loss of resolution, even when enlarged. But to meet the file size limitations, applicants were forced to repeatedly compress the files, reducing the quality of the images. According to its lawsuit, Alabama Always said that the degrading of these images and in the files negatively impacted the application. Again, malicious compliance. Y'all think these politicians don't know better. If it's something they care about, you wouldn't. If it was something that had their blessing and it was something that they didn't have contempt for, they wouldn't allow this to be this sloppy. Again, malicious compliance. You give the people what they want, even though you didn't want it for them, but you do it the most. You make up a bunch of delays, you make up a bunch of roadblocks, and you give it to them. You're like, here it is. Y'all were asking for it, here it is. And again, they just half-baked it because they never wanted it legal. They never wanted people to actually have access, and they never wanted this to be a program that actually materialized. At least that's how I'm seeing it. It's unclear who at the Alabama Medical Cannabis Commission wrote the decision to provide some applicants a workaround, but Webster acknowledged on Wednesday that it has happened. I think I skipped some parts. Okay. According to the lawsuit, Alabama Always said the degrading of images in the file negatively impacted his application. Making matters worse, however, is the fact that some applicants were afforded an opportunity to circumvent. Ding, ding, ding. Did I call it or did I call it? Negro Domus at it again. They let some people circumvent the file size limitations, i.e. the cronies that they wanted to get in on the program and have a head start. Again, they didn't want this legal, but if the people are going to beg us for this dumb degenerate drug, we're going to make sure us and our cronies are the people that benefit from every stage of the process, and we'll play winners and losers. It's unclear who, again, money, again, the citizens, like Citizens United ruled at the beginning of 2011, money is speech, people. I think it was either the beginning of 2011 or 2010, one of those times, but anyway. Money speech, whatever, money talks. Money and cronyism talks. Making matters worse, however, is the fact that some applicants were afforded an opportunity to circumvent the file size limitations. It's unclear who at the Alabama Medical Cannabis Commission made the decision to provide some applicants a workaround, but Webster acknowledged it on Wednesday that it happened. I can't tell you for certain who made that decision, but I remember hearing about it sometime in January, Webster said. If I had to guess, I would say it was a decision made as a collaboration among the AMCC staff, but that's just a speculation. According to two sources familiar with the decision to grant some applicants a workaround, that call was made by in-house counsel Justin Aday, who was appointed to the position after being fired from the Alabama Bar Association, according to the attorney familiar with the situation. Attempts to reach Aday on Wednesday were unsuccessful. No kidding, because this dude knows that this news source knows that this guy might be playing shenanigans. So now that people caught on to this guy's game, the quote-unquote insider counsel. And again, this is all allegedly. I'm not saying I know this. I know all this as a flat fact, so I don't want people slinging arrows at me. But the fact that he's avoiding press proves he knows what he knows. He's dropping the ball in some way or form. Or might be possibly dropping the ball. Webster insisted, however, that the decision to grant the workarounds didn't negatively impact any applicants, an assertion directly refuted by three applicants, and that it was handled fairly. Webster said the AMCC determined that it was appropriate to provide applicants who asked with a means to submit the required documents. However, when other applicants discovered that some competitors have been given workarounds, they also asked for a means to submit their documents. They were denied by the AMCC because, according to Webster, it was done after the deadline and would have been unfair. Technicalities. Death by technicalities. Death by malicious compliance. These were not connected to the patronage networks of these lawmakers. So, of course, it was after the deadline for those schmucks, and it was unfair to let those schmucks in, quote unquote. Quote, these applicants who were given that opportunity were given it because they contacted the commission and raised the issues just as any applicant could, Webster said. Asking for it after the fact is completely different. It's like showing up after you miss the test in school and asking to take it. It's too late. Yeah, I'm going to call shenanigans on that. The lawsuit filed by Alabama Always, along with two sources who worked with two other applicants, paint a different picture. However, they say that they raised the issue of the 10 megabyte file limitation on numerous occasions prior to December 31st, 2022 deadline, but were never informed by staff that there were available options outside that limitation. They also pointed out that file size limitation wasn't the only portal issue. Among other issues, the sources said they were repeatedly kicked out of the portal during the submission process. They raised questions about the vendor contracted for the portal, Tyler Technologies. Again, I'm going to guess that Tyler Technologies is the entities that own that particular portal have a very strong connection to the lawmakers or to the people or to the powers that be in that state. I would imagine it is highly likely that this guy is, or girl, whatever, is highly connected and was given this contract, not because they can make portals worth a darn, but because they're connected to the lawmakers. Cronyism, plain and simple. Money talks, and again, it's not what you know, it's who you know. You just go to college, and you just go to these prestigious grad schools for the social network. The stuff you actually do when you get to the real world, most of that is on-the-job training. The reason why we go to fancy-ass schools is because of the social network. It's not what you know, it's who you know. Money talks, folks. Tyler has itself been plagued with issues. A quick Google search shows that Tyler has been sued multiple times in states all over the country, has faced numerous class action lawsuits, and have currently faced a class action lawsuit in North Carolina after Suffolk improperly kept some people in that state in jail. Malicious compliance. It faced similar allegations in California and Tennessee. In Alabama, Tyler currently handles software management for the Securities Commission. Again, this Tyler Industries knows a lot of field. He's been able to finesse states across the country and across the political divide. This crony dude must be really in with a lot of different people. In Alabama, Tyler currently handles software management for the Securities Commission, Public Service Commission, and the Alabama Real Estate Appraisers. These contracts were enough to win it the job of the AMCC's portal work. Quote, I can't tell you for certain why they were chosen, because I was not involved in the decision, but I believe they were contracted with other state agencies, and that played a role, Webster said. End of article. There you have it. Like I keep saying, the work does not end once your governor, your prime minister, your premier, your alderman, your mayor, it does not end once you get that reform. You have to fight to actively defend that reform because of decades and decades of brainwashing against cannabis around the globe. But I don't want to ramble on for too long. That's not really my style, so enough from me. I can be found anywhere you find podcasts, such as iTunes, CastBox, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and other platforms like it. You can follow me on Instagram at _IamCannabisSativa. And as always, everyone, stay medicated, my friends. Peace out and ciao.